Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I'm a feminist, but hello, Edinburgh! We are back in you! And I'm a feminist, but this morning I put on my magnetic eyeliner, as we all do. You relate, hard relate. And then I left my hotel room, and as soon as I shut the door, I realised I hadn't put the magnetic eyelashes on. And I was like, no problem here. I'll just go back in. None of my keys would work. And I was too late, running too late, due to, you'll understand, incompetence. And I just had to go without them. And I was like, oh my God, now I've got all this big black eyeliner. And no, but not even any mascara. I just look like a new romantic who's, like, in the morning, though. And I, after a big night, and I was like, what am I going to do? And Tom said, do you want me to run back and get them? And I said, because it's only across the road. And I said, no, because you're not going to get them. He said, I could bring them out to you on the stage. And it could be like a funny bit. And I thought about that for a good 30 seconds before I said, I don't think my feminism has hit the point of making a man run to get my magnetic eyelashes, run to get my eyelashes, and then performatively put them on stage in front of an audience of hundreds of people. I'm too ashamed. Now, if I were Beyonce, I would have just gone, yes. So it turns out the bit that's not feminist, I'm realising while telling you, is not that I wear magnetic eyeliner, is not that I went back for eyelashes, it's that I didn't say to a man, God damn it, yes! Bring me my eyelashes! I am a queen. I will put them on, Edinburgh, on a raised pedestal. Ah, damn it, next time.
I'm a feminist, but I'm sad that the Edinburgh Fringe doesn't give out an award for best coat. Because I think I'd definitely get a nomination at least. For the podcast listeners at home, I'm wearing a very nice coat.
It's got major Big Bird vibes.
Oh, I'm calling it Big Bird energy. That's what I'm bringing.
I love it.
Someone told me I look like Cruella de Vil, who hates ducklings. For the listeners at home, I look like Cruella de Vil, who hates ducklings.
If you're imagining that, you've got the coat.
I'm a feminist, but with these gorgeous nails, I know people listening to the podcast can't see my gorgeous nails. Can you just confirm they're gorgeous? But every time I blow my tire, and that happens a lot, okay, I would blow anyone to change those tires.
It's hard to add a rejoinder to that, isn't it? I can't change a tire, but I can get a man to change a tire for me. And that is a skill. Not everyone could do that. You can't just point at a man and say, change my tire. It's going to be like, why?
You could pay him.
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I mean, I'll pay a professional. I'm not going to pay a random man.
Okay.
It's going to be weird, isn't it? If I just say to a random man, oh my gosh, no, and then I go, here's 50 quid. I might offer, but I know he's not going to take it. Because of the way that I've asked him. You see what I mean? Okay. Yeah. Now, I'm a feminist, but yesterday, this is a true story. I mean, they're all true stories, but the eyelashes are true stories. But this sounds, you know, like maybe I've made it. I haven't. I could show you the email. It's a true story. Yesterday, I went into a bar after seeing a friend's comedy show, and there was an empty table and a phone on the seat, and it clearly been lost. And I thought, oh, I'll hand it into the bar. But then I saw on the front of the on the phone, the person on their screensaver had put their email address. So it didn't say, please email this address, or that, just had their email address. So I thought, oh. So I thought, that's brilliant. I'm going to do that now. We should all do that. That's fantastic. So I emailed the person, who was called Pam, and said, hey, I've just found your phone. This is the bar. This is the place. I've handed it in at the counter, and you need to go and ask for this name, and you're going to get your phone back. And, you know, signed it off, and it had my signature on it. And I thought, and I didn't think anything more of it, but I thought, oh, wouldn't it be lovely, because I'm at the Fringe, if that was someone who knows The Guilty Feminist? Because that would be really nice, wouldn't it? It would be really nice for them and for me. If they go, oh, my God, Tim from The Guilty Feminist just found my phone and emailed me this. And then I'd be like, oh, my God, you're a guilty feminist. Oh. So I had this little fantasy. A little fantasy about meeting a guilty feminist. A little fantasy. You know, how you do. It just occurred to me. And then I didn't think anything more of it. I forgot about it. And then this morning I got an email that says, dear Deborah, thanks so much for handing my phone in. I was having kittens. I thought, that's potential. Potentially a guilty feminist would say I'm having kittens, wouldn't they? She said, I saw your show years ago called How to Get Almost Anyone to Want to Sleep with You. And I always remember the bit about I'm a Scorsese movie in a hat. Okay, it's not clear to you, but it was a whole long metaphor about how to think about yourself. The show was about sexual confidence. Wasn't really about shagging. People often misunderstood that. Point is, it was a very successful show. Ran for some number of years. People loved it. Gave people a lot of sexual confidence at times. But I wouldn't do it now because it was a little bit like... It was the noughties. It was men alike, women alike. You know, I wouldn't do it now. I wouldn't do it now. And it was mostly about how to get people to want to sleep with you because that's implied in the title. So I don't think I've ever told you about it, I'll be honest. She said, it really had an impact on me. I blossomed and grew in confidence. Take care and keep on, Pam.
Ah.
So I thought, well, that's really nice. Not what I was hoping for, but really nice. So I wrote back and I said, oh, that's lovely, Pam. I'm on at the Gilded Balloon today at 2 p.m. doing The Guilty Feminist. If you want to come and say hi, I'll do a shout out from the stage for you, Deborah. Because I was hoping that she would see that I've moved on and I don't do that anymore. And I thought, why doesn't Pam know? Like, I changed her life. This show's quite big. Like, why has she not gone, oh, I've seen you've gone on to other things. I've listened to the Guilty Feminist. That's given me some confidence too. I don't understand. Pam, where have you been? Pam, how did you know me then and you don't know me now? Pam, if you don't know me by now, you're never going to know me at all. So can I please do a shout out in case Pam got this email in time and came in? Pam, are you in? Could one of you not pretend it to be Pam?
I think if Pam was drunk enough to lose her phone, she's not going to be up in time to watch this.
That's fair. Yeah, fair.
I'm a feminist, but when I saw that three of the four main CEOs that are responsible for polluting the seas and rivers with actual shit were women, I thought to myself, ooh, girl boss.
Are we ready to start the show? And welcome to the Guilty Feminist. Big round of applause for Alison Spittle, Jambi McGraw, Grace Petrie, who you're going to be seeing a little bit later, and you yourselves for coming. Look at this, I just found this on the ground. Hold on, one second. Maybe it's from Pam. This is a beautiful picture of me that is more flattering than necessary. Do you see what I mean? Sort of, I know the picture this is taken from, and I definitely don't look as sexy. So whoever drew this, thank you and well done. Do you know what? It's how I felt when the picture was being taken and how I thought it would look. Do you ever do a face in a picture and you think, oh, this is a really sexy face? And then you see it and you just go like, no, I just look like, you know, so disappointing. I don't know how people do that. Like models on America's Next Top Model and things, and they're smizing and they're like, and they just, the thing that they're thinking comes across. The thing that I'm thinking, I can be fully thinking about an orgasm, but just look like I'm constipated. It's disappointing. Now, I know my angles. You'll see the same photo of me everywhere all over the internet. I'm in different clothes, but it's always the same photo of me. I know my angles. This says, to Deb, I'm a feminist, but when I gave you a drawing in Newcastle a few months ago, you said you looked fat in it. Oh, no. So I've redrawn it and tried to make you look skinnier. So, the thing is, I don't... Look, the thing is... I'm not thin. I've been all different weights. And I said, I don't identify as thin, I don't identify as fat, and I have friends who are thin and friends who are fat. I identify as mid-size. I think probably my objection was, that doesn't quite look like me. That looks like somebody who's a larger size than me. Is that... The point is, thank you for the drawing, which obviously, you know, I sincerely felt was sexy, because I said it before I read... So much. I'm a feminist, but Grace Petrie is bringing me a coffee on stage. Thank you so much. I didn't get a chance to have a coffee this morning. I thought Ali, our stage manager, was going to kind of discreetly do it, but I love the fact that it's been brought to me by one of the most famous folk and protest singers in the country, because it makes me feel fancy. It's still a bit hot. I'll pop it down. Thank you, Grace. All right, so Edinburgh. It's been a while. I don't know if you've noticed. We've had all sorts of global pandemics, and here we are now, allowed in the same room, breathing the same air, just like it's normal. It's so exciting. This house is completely full, except for the seats that have been left for the Edinburgh television producers, who are off somewhere snorting coke off someone else's flyer. maybe mine. We'll never know. So I just want to know, I've been asking audiences all around Britain, UK, Australia and New Zealand, what acts of feminism they've done since I've been able to see them last, because it's been a long time on Zoom and I didn't enjoy the Zoom era. I don't know if you did. I didn't. This show's always been a live show from day one. We had an audience, not a big audience at first, but we had an audience and we ended up with a huge audience. We were at the Royal Albert Hall right before lockdown. And so it's just so exciting to be back after spending all this time, not even with another comedian in the room. It's just so wonderful. So all I want to do is talk to you now. I just want to be with you. You don't have to talk to me if you don't want to, by the way. I'm not going to come along and say, you, sir, do you have a job? I'll laugh at it. No, I'm not going to, not that kind of comedian, and this isn't that kind of show. Whatever your job is, I'm sure it's wonderful. It is. What is it? What was it?
A client manager.
A client manager. Well, it depends what kind of clients they are, doesn't it? What kind of clients are they? Video game developers. Are any of them women? Yeah, there you go. See, what you're doing is diversity and inclusion for video games, sir. Yeah, I don't even want to... Sorry, I don't want to impose gender upon you. You're a man. Are you a cisgender man?
Yes.
Great, okay. And you're doing video games for a living?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And do you listen to The Guilty Feminist?
No.
You don't? It's all right. I just said I wasn't going to laugh at you for having a job. We might laugh at you for not being a feminist, if it turns out that's the... He's a feminist. Oh, what a lovely man. What's your name?
Andrew.
Andrew said, oh no, I am a feminist, and I promised myself I would do my homework and listen to this podcast, and then I forgot. So relatable, Andrew. So, which of us have not gone to a show? I thought I'd listen to this. I've gone to a music gig with a friend and thought, I must listen to some of their songs so I can do some of the lyrics and things like that and listen along. And Andrew's too busy doing feminism to be listening to him. He's not had time. He's doing video games and feminism. He's changing the face of video games by including women and reshaping the business. Andrew's busy. Andrew, listen, you're going to listen to this episode because you're featured in it. So this is an incentivized situation for you. You want to know what made the edit. Excellent. But you do identify as a feminist. Did someone bring you here today? Who brought you?
Sonali.
Sonali, are you friend?
We're dating.
Yes.
Dating? I didn't want to assume, but I was hoping. So you're dating, okay. And you've brought him here.
Yeah.
Now that sounds like, given you've sat him in the front row, you were hoping he'd learn. Oh, he chose the show. Then you've not been dating long. No, I know this ploy. You would have no. You think my audience is going to be full of young women and, you know, women of all ages. Actually, it is full of women of all ages, but there's often a sort of, you know, a lot of young women trying to, you know, well, I'm going to be an activist, well, and people of minority genders, and, you know, obviously there's lots of gay men that come to the show because you've listened to it and you've listened to the Dublin episodes and you know about the gay Michaels. But you would be very surprised how many straight cisgendered men come to this show on a third date. Oh, I planned it. I booked it. See, and now I'm a feminist with a sense of humour. What more do you need to know? I'm not implying that's the situation here.
I'm not straight.
You're not straight?
Both bi.
Oh, you're both bi. Yeah. Oh, that's... Oh. Young millennials strike again. Oh, it's stressful, isn't it? Did you see how many assumptions I tried not to make there? I didn't make any assumptions. I don't assume you're a man. I don't want to assume you're dating. I don't want to assume you're dating a woman. Oh, you are dating a woman and you're a man. And then throw it on the floor. Straight man. I'm not straight. Oh, no. You've made one assumption and you've fallen right into my hole. Oh, young millennials and Gen Zs, they're Batman villains. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry, you're both bi. Of course you are. You're in the front row of my audience. I don't know what I was thinking. I also am bi, so I'm allowed to make that mistake. Thank God it was that one. I will not assume you're monogamous. I will not assume...
We're not.
Okay, great.
quite a stressful morning, if I'm honest. I didn't get to have any coffee, and this is the first foray into the audience. Now, what I normally ask is, has anyone done any acts of feminism since I saw you last? And some of you will have heard me doing this on the podcast because I'm trying to find out what people have done around the country and around the world, in fact. And I'm asking for an act of feminism that would intimidate nobody. I'm looking for the smallest act of feminism that you think it's just going to encourage others. So other people in the audience are going to go, I can do better than that. That's what I'm looking for. Now, in Stratford-upon-Avon, somebody there said, put her hand up and said, I said, a small act of feminism, tiny. She put up her hand and said, I co-founded. I said, no. Most people will never co-found anything. You have to understand. We're looking for something minor, mini. Has anyone got anything? Woo! Yes? Sonali.
Yes. A few years ago, my mum from India was visiting me. I'm Indian. And it's the first time I had her all to myself, away from my father and my brother. So we got to know each other better as adults, built up a relationship more as adults, became friends, told her about, you know, the guys I'm dating, made her sit down and watch Queer Eye so that she could learn more about gay people. At the end of it, she said her favorite was Stan France. And I'm like, Mom, you realize not only is he gay, but he's British Pakistani. And she went, oh my God, okay. And then...
Continue.
Yeah, so just as a context, we're middle class, kind of slightly conservative ethos, but my mom's been growing with me. Then we were in a mall in Manchester, and I spotted an Ann Summers, and I took her in with me to the back of the shop.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
Come on.
I'm pretty sure the salesperson was very confused because I don't think you get many mother-daughter duos coming in.
No.
So she saw us and was like, I don't know what's happening here, but I'll still be professional. My mom looked at this is going to get a bit risky. She looked at some anal plugs and was like, what is that? And I turned to her, I'm like, you know, many people use it, but I guess most famous...
What were you looking at?
Anal plugs.
Anal plants?
Plugs.
Oh, plugs. I was imagining, I was like, I haven't been into anal for a while, clearly. Ferns for the anus.
And then I was like, oh, many couples use it during sex, but most famously associated with gay couples, I guess. She's like, oh, I did wonder how they have sex. I'm like, yes, that's one way, I guess. And then she turns to me and says, so how do lesbians do it? And I'm looking at my 60-year-old teddy bear of a very cute, innocent mother, and I say, well, Mom, again, there are different ways to do it, but I guess they focus a lot of the times on the clit. And then she looks at me and says, you know, it is all about the clit. That is the best conversation I've had in my entire life. And I did buy my mom a toy, by the way. And I was like, this is a present for you.
We are not going to do better than that story. All I can say is please welcome to the stage the incredible Alison Spittle.
Hey, Deborah.
Hello, Alison Spittle.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. How are you?
Oh, it's the last day of the Fringe. Absolutely depressed.
Are you? Why?
I don't know. I just woke up this morning and I was just like, what is life for? You must find eggs. So those are my two things. Finding the meaning of life and finding a poached egg.
Did you find either?
I got a poached egg.
Well, I'm so delighted. I saw your show yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't believe it wasn't nominated because I just thought it was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
That's very kind of you, Deborah.
I couldn't
Me
stop
neither. Laughing. Joking.
I just found it so hysterically funny. You've got one more today, but it's sold out, yeah?
Yeah, it's sold out. It's called Wet, and it's about aqua aerobics and getting the coil in that made me want to kill myself. But it's funny. So, yeah.
No, it's really, really funny. Are you going to tour it?
Hopefully, yes. Yeah. Isn't that the next thing that we try and do after the Fringe?
Yeah, is tour the show.
I sound a lot sicker than I am. I'm fine. This is just from karaoke.
I'm delighted to hear that. Alison.
Yeah.
What's the best thing about the Fringe for you?
Oh, the best thing about the Fringe is having people that you meet like 3 times a year, but seeing them every day. So it's like a wedding every day. It's like your own wedding every day, and you're just fussing and worrying about your part to play in it. But everybody is essentially having a good time. I mean, there are a few people crying at it, but it wouldn't be a wedding without that, would it?
That is the best description of the Fringe I've ever heard.
Thank you.
My description of the Fringe is crying uphill in the rain while having the time of your life.
Oh, yes. The first ever time that I did the Fringe, it was terrible for me. I had a documentary crew following me from Ireland.
Did you know about that?
Yeah, no, yeah.
They were allowed. Yeah. Sensual documentary crew.
Oh, I've got a court order against them now, you know? I my first ever show was called Alison Spittle Needs an Agent, right? Because I wanted an agent at the time. It was a cry for help that went unanswered. Very much so. And the documentary ended in me, because it started with me going, I'm so enthusiastic, I'm going to have a lovely time, I just love doing comedy. And the documentary ended with me crying into the camera, intercut with me flying in the rain, intercut with a picture of 2 people that came to my show that sat separately, right? And then I go, I just haven't validated myself as a comedian. And that was the end of that documentary. Yeah, and I'm still here.
You've done really well since then, and you've had a sellout run.
Yeah, thanks to Guilty Feminist and other podcasts I do. Like, genuinely, if I didn't do this podcast, I don't think I'd still be doing The Fringe. You know, it's changed my life. Having the audience come in, it's been lovely. And it's, like, nice to do a show. The show is about, like, consent, if I'm being frank. But you can't really put that on a flyer. And isn't everything about consent? You know, and about the coil and about stuff that I really wanted to talk about. And it's stuff that I was always afraid to do as a stand-up comedian when I first started. I used to get compliments for not doing comedy about my vagina. And I was a misogynist when I first started doing stand-up comedy. Like, I was one of those reversey ones, like. And I would be like, yeah, fuck those bitches. I don't do comedy about my vagina because I've got so much more to talk to. There's so much more to me than my vagina. But genuinely, the reason why I didn't when I first started doing comedy was just fuck all what's happening to it, do you know? So it's hard to write about stuff. It's like being involved in a war, do you know? And you're just doing the admin. You're photocopying. But one day I'm going to get called up. And when I do, I'll be very afraid. But I'll do it. It's been a nice journey. It's been a nice journey.
Well, I can't recommend your show highly enough, so I really, really do hope that you tour it. It's absolutely incredible. We have another comic on today who is also going to join us here and also there. So, are we ready to see some stand-up comedy?
I'm ready.
Then put your hands together and make incredible woohooing noises for the wonderful Jabby McGraw!
Hey, how you guys doing? You all right? Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. So, I am from Africa. Silence, silence. Usually they tell us to fuck off, but I'll take the silence. But you guys seem like a good crowd. And I look like this, and I travel around the country doing comedy. And I know everybody's worried about immigrants. So I like to start off by saying, guys, please don't worry about me. I'm a good immigrant. I am trying so hard to be a good British person. I now say British things like I beg your pardon before I push a lady off her seat. And like most Africans, I was raised with good Christian values, like loving my neighbor. His wife doesn't know. And I have a white friend. Another one, not Jesus. But my white friend, she's very nice. She was on the phone to me. She said, Jabby, come, let's go on a camping holiday. I was like, no, thank you. Let me see, big and flimsy accommodation, sleeping on cold, hard floors, and going to the bushes every time you need a wee. That's what we call visiting grandma. She lives in Glasgow. I was
in Waitrose today, and not shopping, I just like the smell of money. And there was a very posh woman in there. She leans over to her two-year-old and goes, "Darling, what would you like for supper?" So I stopped to listen, because giving a child options is a whole new thing to me. My mother gave me options like, "Do you want food?" And then she would give it to me and child, "Don't eat everything! Think of all the obese children in America." It works both ways. So I'm realizing that everybody gets worries about immigrants. And people start to speculate. You guys notice people speculate about immigrants? People say things like, "Oh no, immigrants don't integrate." And I'm like, guys, please relax. My husband is English. I integrate every night. Sometimes I include him. Yes, my husband is English and I'm African, and we've been together for a long time. We have pet names for one another. He calls me his African queen. I call him the colonizer. And yes, my husband is white and I'm black. Obviously, our children are gray. And we met when I was studying in New York. It was love at first sight. He spotted me from across the room and we fell in love. After 2 weeks, he proposed. 2 weeks, he proposed. And I obviously confirmed he had a British passport. You don't want to say yes and then find out on your wedding night he's from Bulgaria. You'd be like, "Oh, I am so sorry. Wrong GDP. Sorry." Sorry. And you know, I got so worried when we decided to get married, because like mixed race relationships can be very problematic. Because like my mother, she's a very staunch Christian. His mother is a very staunch racist. And I know people like to stereotype. People stereotype too much. You guys think people stereotype too much? People stereotype so much all the time. People say things like, white people can't dance, black people can't swim. Well, I swim every day, but I can't dance. I even tried the white people dancing song. Do you remember the song that was written to help white people with the dancing? You remember the song? "You put your right leg in, right leg in." Didn't work for me either, okay? Didn't work for me. Because people think that all black people do the same shit. People think that all black people, every Sunday, we're at church going, "Oh Lord, why would you take Prince and leave Kanye?" It's not what we do. But you know, they say that when you travel, you find out something about yourself. So I came to Britain, I found out I was black. I didn't know, because like in Africa, we don't actually know we are black. We are all walking around Africa thinking that we're just people. Turns out we are black. But we are not, though. Some of us are light brown, others are dark brown, others are medium brown. I guess it's easier for white people because you only have two shades, before and after sun. But we are in the middle of a culture war. You guys know this, we're in the middle of a culture war, huh? We're in the middle of a culture war. But you know what? Race issues have been going on for a very long time. Even Hitler tried to create a super race. Yeah, Hitler wanted people with fair skin, blue eyes, blonde hair. Now, you've seen Boris. See, I have an idea for super race, okay? They would have Mediterranean skin so they never have to tan. They would have Indian hair because it's fabulous. They would have an African ass. White privilege. That's Meghan Markle. And I am Team Meghan. So, guys, I'm from Kenya, and Kenya was a British colony. And Kenya and Britain went to war. You don't know about this war because we won. That's why you don't celebrate it. But you know what? Like, I know, like, my husband is English, and I know a lot of white people, and I can never compute between the people that colonized us and you lot, okay? I just can't. I just can't. I try and I can't, okay? But you know what? You've got to give it to them, because the British colonizers were very audacious, okay? They would turn up anywhere in Africa. They would find an African going about his business, and they'll be like, "Take me to your leader at once." Can you imagine if I turned up at Heathrow Airport and went, "Take me to your leader at once"? Like, British people will be so confused, they'll be like, I am so sorry, there is no leadership. And there hasn't been since 2010. And when the British arrived in Kenya, they found that we were polygamists. And they automatically assumed that African women were oppressed. Because what they saw was one man with his five wives. What we saw was five women with a handyman living in a compound. A handyman that did all of their chores and then gave them a happy ending. And when the British arrived, they found that homosexuality was acceptable in Kenya. And they outlawed it, okay? Like my great-great-grandmother, she had four wives. Not one, not two, not three, but four fucking wives. She died of exhaustion. That's my time. Thanks very much.
Jumpy McGraw, everybody! Come take a seat.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Chubby, that was phenomenal. That was really riveting. Thank you so much for doing that for us. How's your run been going at the Fringe?
Well, you know, you were talking about crying in the rain. I've been flying in the rain as well. Uh-huh. And it's weird. It's such a roller coaster, but it's amazing. Like you were saying, it reminds me of my university days where I go out all night and get pissed with comics and then regret it in the morning. And I'm thinking, I have to go and fly and talk to people and not be sick in front of people. So it's been amazing, but it's quite a roller coaster. And I've got one more show today, and it's not sold out.
Oh, it will be. It will be. Let's get on now.
What time is it?
It's at 5:50 today at the Pleasant Baby Grand. I haven't had a sold out show, okay? So let's make this today their sellout show.
Yay! Amazing.
It has been, because of the train strikes, a very strange fringe. A bunch of things, not just the train strikes. Yeah. The planes have been weird, the transport costs because...
The rubbish
on the ground, and then there's the papers have been saying next year it's going to be 18% inflation and you're not going to be able to afford your gas bill. So I think some people who normally would spend, you know, 900 quid coming to the Fringe and seeing lots of shows have gone, maybe keep that for fuel. Because next year you could either be paying your fuel bill or you could be burning all of the Fringe flyers that you got given and just rubbing your hands over them. That's what I think people are worried about. So I'm going to come to that today for sure.
Yes. Yay. I will too. And on tree after my show, I'll come to
see
you.
Yeah. So Alison and I will be there. Does anyone else want to come?
Yeah.
Right.
Nice.
Also, I think, you know, burning our flyers, we should burn the government next year. That'd be great fuel. Wouldn't it be amazing? Yeah.
Also, that was a metaphorical joke.
No.
Alison Spittle is not inciting violence against the government. I don't want you arrested on my show.
Would I get arrested?
Yeah, you could. For saying burn the government, 100%.
Oh, but, like, you know, I'm wearing a yellow coat. Like...
No, it's clearly a joke, but I'm just adding it's clearly a joke because this government, Priti Patel, she would not...
Oh, she'd be the first. Like...
I don't feel that she gets irony, though. If anyone here is in law enforcement...
I'm not an ironic. arrest me now. Let's do it.
Listen, no. Take it down from the inside.
Burning it.
I'm saying nothing about this conversation, okay?
Definitely don't.
I don't want it to end up in Rwanda.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. This is.
Please burn them, please.
No. That's definitely something for a white person to say. Yeah. And
I'm using my privilege. Burn the motherfuckers down.
Okay. So you know, like at the end, Priti Patel, if you're listening, and I know that you are by now because somebody listens to everything and has brought this to your attention. I don't think you're a regular listener, Priti Patel. If you are, you've heard some really funny jokes about yourself.
She's very guilty. Like, I can say that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. I don't know about the feminist. One of my favorite ever I'm a feminist butts was I'm a feminist butt. If I was in a public loo and Priti Patel asked me for a tampon, I wouldn't give her one even if she was wearing a white suit. And that's the final frontier for a sisterhood. Seriously, that's the worst. Could you tell us about your book? Because some of us are going to come to the show today. Some of you will already have tickets for something else. Hopefully you'll tour it. But
yes.
What's your show called just before we...
So my show is called Black Black, and I'm comparing my life now as a comedian living in the UK to my grandmother, who was a comedian in colonial Kenya under very difficult circumstances.
She was a comedian in colonial Kenya?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
My great-grandmother was a comedian in London, but I never knew this because I was adopted.
Oh, wow.
So we need to do a double act about grandmothers who are comedians.
Seriously, because like that would be amazing. Because my grandmother, they were,
I'm so sorry.
Yes.
My great grandmother was in a double act with my great aunt, and do you know where when they went solo? My great aunt became a solo comedian, and then she moved to Kenya. Yeah, during that era, she was like 1910, I think she went out.
So that's around the same time my grandmother. Then she was a young girl. That's incredible.
Do you think they knew each other?
Well, it's unlikely because...
I was very quiet during that bit.
The reason I say this is because 1900s is when the British occupied Kenya.
Oh, God.
And I
was thinking that, Deborah. I was like, I wouldn't be bragging about that.
I know, but... You know? I take it all. Nothing happened to me. No, I think her husband was in he was an engineer or something. He helped put water in or something like that. So I don't think he was, as colonizers go, he was one of the nicer ones.
Could be.
Okay. Tell us about your book.
Do you know?
My book is. It is about my family history. A few years ago, I was living in my West London home with my husband and my daughters, and I was very happy until I got a wedding invitation, and this wedding invitation was from my brother. And he said that he was going to invite my father to the wedding, and that brought back a horrid spiral of trauma. Because when I was 13, my father came home and he attacked me, and he beat me up. And the last thing I remember seeing was an object coming towards me, and I blacked out. And I woke up, it was pitch black, and I was so frightened. I got up, and I walked all night in the middle of Kenyan countryside, and with my blue tin suitcase, I was 13, and as I was walking, I saw headlights. And usually I would run because I'm quite scared of anything, really. And two men got out of the car, And they asked me to get, they asked me where I was going. And I said I was going to boarding school, which was obviously a lie because I was bleeding. I had, my nightdress was covered in blood. So they said, get in the car. So I got in the car and they asked me, where is my boarding school? And I told them location where my mom was. So my mom had fled under similar circumstances. And she was working night shift and she came out of her night shift to see me standing there with my suitcase covered in blood and all swollen. And so so that's the last time I saw my dad. And so many years later, to then have the real chance of coming face to face with him brought out a huge amount of trauma. And that's what the book is about. But it's also funny. it's also funny. It's about my discovery. It's about trying to reconnect with him and a series of things that took place. I don't want to tell you too much because I don't want to ruin your enjoyment of reading the book. But
yeah,
we are who we are because of what happened. And I didn't realize the trauma that we still bore as a continent. So I found out stuff about my dad. I found out stuff about my mom. I don't know if you know this, between 1952 and 1960, the British opened concentration camps in Kenya, and my mother was 8 when they left. Oh. When they went in there, they left in 1960.
Oh,
so they
God.
Were all very traumatized, and they were trying to raise children with all of that trauma.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Like, trauma is such a massive thing within all of our lives.
Yeah.
And, like, I find it, like, great that you're trying to be funny with it as well, because being funny is a way of communicating. It's definitely a way I've definitely processed my trauma and stuff. And, like, I feel sometimes that you almost have to be apologetic for being funny about your own trauma. And it's like, you shouldn't. And I really can't wait to read your book. Like, it sounds fantastic.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Me too.
Thank you.
It's called... It's called Through the Leopard's Gaze.
Yes.
And it's available now in paperback, hardback?
Yes. So it's available in all good bookstores. It's
Do you like saying that?
And
if I wrote a book, I'd love to say that, you
well,
know?
Yeah. And if they don't stock it, then it's not a good bookstore. Because one of the challenges of being a black writer is also getting our books to shops, because they say black people don't read and black people don't write. And so you can prove to them that black people do write and black people do read by actually asking for the book, because even marketing our work can be very difficult. So this is what my publishers have found. But you can also get it directly from my publishers. They only publish black books because major publishers don't really publish black people. So it's Jacaranda Music, so that's my publisher, or you can buy directly from my website. And if you want to sell your soul to the devil, you can buy it from Amazon.
I'm so excited to read it, and I'm so excited to see your show Black Black this afternoon. You've also had a hit Radio 4 series, successful Soho Theatre runs, comedy specials on Amazon Prime, Next Up, and BBC iPlayer. So you can check out Jambi's work in all of those places. And you are also the Hackney Empire New Act of the Year. So we are going to be seeing major things for you. I hope you'll come and co-host an episode of The Guilty Feminist.
I have been waiting for so long.
Have you?
Yes.
Nobody told me.
I've been waiting for so long to hear those words, Deborah, and I would love to do it.
Well,
I
can't wait, Jambi. I want to hear much more from you. It has been absolutely incredible. And now to close the show, the incredible Grace Petrie! Yay! Grace, how's your show been going?
I've loved it, mate. Yeah.
It's
loved
honestly, it. I think, one of the most necessary shows I've ever seen.
Oh, crikey.
And I don't, necessary doesn't sound like an enormous compliment for a comedy show. So I will also say, gosh, that was necessary. I will also say, really, really funny and incredibly moving. I've seen it twice, once at the gate of an airport when we were on tour together. I was the only audience member, obviously. We didn't make other people waiting for the plane watch it. But we should have, now I realise. And then I saw it at the Assembly George Square. Have you got another show today?
I've got one more today at 4:20.
Is it sold out?
It's not sold out. It's quite a long way off.
Why don't we do a tour? Ooh. Go to Grace's and then go to...
I might go to Grace's again. Who wants to come to, like, on a pub crawl?
Yes.
Bring a beer from Grace. So we go Grace 4:20, then we'll go over to Jambi 10 to 6.
And don't worry about me. I'm fine, right? I'll get us a bottle of Prosecco from me and, like, well, can we... Is it legal?
Hold on, what time's your show?
Don't worry. I'm at 4:45.
Are you sold out there?
Exactly. So don't worry about me. And I'll spiritually... I'll get some Ferrero Rochers. I feel that's feminist.
Okay.
And is it? I don't know.
They are the most feminist chocolate, aren't they? Ferrero Rochers.
We're not here tomorrow, but listen to The Guilty Feminist. If you could rate, review and subscribe. I'm meant to tell you that all the time and I never do. If you could give it 5 stars, it would really, really help the podcast, because obviously with the pandemic and everything, it makes a big difference. So if you could just, all you need to do for us, and listen to old episodes. What was your name?
Andrew,
that's right. Sorry, Andrew. I should have remembered because Scotland. But it's the only name in Scotland, really. It's your saint. It's your saint. Yeah, Andrew, listen to all the old episodes. There's 300. Get going.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a choice because I'm not sure what to do. It's my first Fringe this year. But isn't it lovely to be back, right? Isn't it just lovely to be back? And I feel like I feel very emotional today because I really enjoyed doing this show and it's the last time I'll probably ever do it. And also, I think the fact that I've been drinking for 23 days has something to do with it. Because I do feel quite tearful this morning. But I do just think live art is amazing. And it's been, you know, after everything the world's been through in the last couple of years, it feels like an amazing privilege to have been here this month. So I could sing you a song about the pandemic, or I could sing you a song about imposter syndrome. Give me a shout if you want a song about the pandemic. You can meet me afterwards. I'll do it for you. Give me a shout if you want a song about imposter syndrome. Okay. The other one would have been a bit more feel good, but you do you. I feel very proud of myself for doing a comedy show because I'm not a comedian. I am a singer-songwriter, but I've done this show with no music at all. So I feel proud of myself for stepping out of my comfort zone. And this is a song that I wrote about feeling like I'm not qualified to be doing what I'm doing. But I feel like after I've had a really nice month, I feel like I'm proud of myself. So I'm going to sing this song. It's called Nobody Knows That I'm a Fraud. And it goes out to give me a shout if you've ever suffered from imposter syndrome. Oh, wow, blimey. Deeply underconfident crowd. You love me. Thank you very much. Mum's in. Here's this. I'm a protest singer, by the way. So I sing like left-wing politics songs. You need to know that for the first line, otherwise it doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't watch PMQs as often as you might expect. I only live tweet Question Time for comedic effect. There it is. That's the comedic effect. We should go on tour together, babe, you and me. I've never read Virginia Woolf or any Bertolt Brecht, and nobody knows that I'm a fraud. It's often been alleged that I'm as hard left as can be, but my idea of edgy is an unknown brand of tea, and I'm not even veggie, let alone dairy-free. Nobody knows that I'm a fraud. But I'll get up underneath the lights until I feel adored, and I'll never tell you anything I think you won't applaud. Oh, it might not always be the truth, but it'll have 3 chords. Nobody knows that I'm a fraud. Nobody knows that I'm a fraud. Well, dressing how I do, I find I often get mistook by graphic novel fans that judge me on the way I look. But I just like Batman shirts. I've never read a comic book. Nobody knows that I'm a fraud. When people call me a musician, that makes my palms perspire. I took grade 1 piano and I never got no higher. And if I didn't have this capo, then you'd all see I'm a liar. Nobody knows that I'm a fool. Until I feel adored, and I'll never tell you anything I think you won't applaud. Oh, it might not always be the truth, but it'll have three chords. Nobody knows that I'm a fraud. Nobody knows that I'm a fraud. And some days I get so scared that we're losing, and some days I'm just so sure we'll never win. And some days I get so knackered from refusing to let that in, to let that in. Whoa. Well, some days life feels like a play that you have not rehearsed. But one thing's true of all of us sharing this universe is we could all be doing better, but we could all be doing worse. And everyone you know feels like a fraud. Come on and get up underneath the lights until you feel adored. But never tell them anything you think they won't applaud. Yeah, it might not always be the truth, but it'll have three chords. Nobody knows that I'm a fraud. Oh, it might not always be the truth, but it'll have three chords. And I guess that I'll take up comedy when I run out of chords. Cause nobody knows that I'm a fraud.
Been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, guest co-host Alison Spittle, and my very special guest, Jami McGrath, with music from Grace Petrie. The Guilty Feminist theme tune was composed by Mark Hodge, the recording engineer was Hamish Campbell, the producer for The Spontaneity Shop was Tom Selinski. Thanks to Bjorn, Jody, Karen, and all and everyone at The Guilty Balloon, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com.
The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.